Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Hi, this is Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. For insightful dialogue and discussion, tune into the Audrey Russo Show at Real Talk Radio.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. Democrat attorneys general seem to be making extra work for themselves. They have a plan to prosecute so-called climate change deniers, and their pact is targeting ExxonMobil Corporation. Will all this cost us dearly? Well, we're going to find out answers to this and more with my next guest. For my new listeners, Christopher Horner is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. As an attorney in Washington, D.C., Chris has represented CEI as well as scientists and members of the U.S. House and Senate on matters of environmental policy in the federal courts and the Supreme Court. He's also a New York Times bestselling author of several books, including his latest, The Liberal War on Transparency. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Christopher Horner. Welcome back, Chris.
Thank you, Audrey.
It's great to have you with us again. Chris, just when we thought they were looking out for us, several states' attorney general are planning to make trouble for so-called climate change deniers. Could you expound on this for us?
So it's actually a fluid situation. Our involvement began when we saw a March 29th press conference this year with former Vice President Al Gore. Signaling the political nature of what was otherwise purportedly 20 state attorneys general getting together in a serious purpose to use their law enforcement powers to go after, it turns out, political opponents for political speech. And as we do, this time for the Energy and Environment Legal Institute, I sent numerous state-level Freedom of Information Act requests, or FOIA requests, to the ones involved. And within a few weeks, one of the ringleaders, Vermont, was actually the co-organizer of this cabal, this scheme of ideologically aligned, that is, they're all Democrats with one exception, it's a nonpartisan office in the U.S. Virgin Islands. They had organized they turned over some documents showing it was clearly a political coalition to protect President Obama's climate agenda to implement the Paris Climate Treaty, which just as we speak was admitted to be a treaty by the United Nations Secretary General. The U.S. is the only country not ratifying it. The president just said we've joined it. And these AGs, recognizing that, in their recruiting letter said they need to now protect these moves, these amazing executive overreaches to impose the what's called the climate agenda or energy rationing. You remember making electricity prices necessarily skyrocket, right, bankrupting politically disfavored industries, and so on. Well, the Vermont AG released some records that showed what this was about, the scheming with Mr. Gore, with green activists, with some activist lawyers who briefed the AGs, the attorneys general, before their press conference. And it really blew up in their face, and we've continued since then. We've sued at least three of them so far, just sued the Vermont AG again last week after winning a hearing up there, Rhode Island, New York, Virginia's next. And the fact is it's because they've agreed to stonewall public records showing this scheme. Why is that important? Because they're abusing, and this is in 20 states, they're abusing law enforcement powers to go after political speech. And let me just say why this is just so amazing. They're using investigative powers to go after political opponents. It's not just ExxonMobil. It's also another group I work with, the Competitive Enterprise Institute, who received a subpoena for 10 years' worth of almost all of its records, beginning 20 years ago, by one of these AGs, who has dropped it. CEI is pursuing sanctions in the District of Columbia Court because it was so abusive.
Wow.
It's just remarkable. But what they're doing is it's a shakedown. These AGs are trying to get vows of silence from industry, a vow not to support the political opposition, and contributions into a settlement fund, a massive settlement fund that is patterned after the tobacco master settlement because it was such a gusher of billions, and this would be many, many times more. It's energy companies.
Mm-hmm.
To underwrite a political agenda. It really is an unprecedented abuse of law enforcement powers in the name of a political coalition, and we are peeling back layer by layer, brick by brick, tearing down the stone wall, state by state, and lawsuit after lawsuit. We are finding out how this came about, with whom, and pursuing this appearance that it was being done on behalf of their party's largest donor.
Wow. Did I read it right that they were considering using RICO?
RICO. Yeah. The anti-mob racketeering statute was one of the many tools they said they had to conduct investigations. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm trying to understand how they would be able to use that. I mean, is the law that vague?
Well, here's the deal. That raises really the ultimate point and really shows just how abusive this is. There is no racketeering there. There has to be, with RICO, there has to be an underlying crime like fraud. And what they're saying is opposition to their agenda is fraud. Now, you've even seen the dean of the Yale Law School, who's very isolated on this, by the way, rush out to defend these guys saying, no, you can't claim First Amendment. We yelled fraud. Well, yes, you can claim First. This is political speech. And they're saying, well, if we call it fraud, you can't defend yourself. They're just calling speech fraud because that's a RICO, what we call predicate crime. There is no RICO there, but what they want is just some basis to initiate an investigation. Why? These are not designed to prevail in court. They're not designed to win. They're designed to settle. There is no way any of them are going to file a RICO charge or pursue it. They're just claiming they're opening investigations. This is Fat Tony and Jimmy the Weasel showing up and saying, hey, me and my cousin, we're watching this block. It'd be a shame if something happened to your company. And you know, why don't you give us several hundred billion a year to go away? Except, of course, they won't go away. And sure, industry would pass through as much as they could to the consumer and raise energy prices, which is the point, and underwrite this industry. But that's really one of the hallmarks of the abuse here is there is no there. If there's any racketeering in this, I'd say RICO's in the mirror. These people who see fraud, well, those who are hyping climate risk for gain, mm-hmm. well, as 17 attorneys general wrote back to these guys saying, you really ought to be careful because given your standard, there appears to be fraud, but not here, over on what is unfortunately your side of the aisle. This is people who are promoting climate risk for gain, to get policies, to transfer wealth from you and me through the state to them.
Sure.
So it isn't actually racketeering. The only guy, and remember, it's the Delaware Attorney General, for example, signed on. We have the email. Here's my signature block. And then after a Freedom of Information Act request came in response to that notice, the Delaware AG quickly responded, "Oh, we won't be doing this." So just like Iowa, they dropped out. Iowa, their emails showed that they called Eric, that is New York AG Schneiderman, the wild card. They called Eric is clearly the wild card for everyone. The implication was, let's not try to hitch our wagon to this guy's star. It's a little erratic. And all of the AGs have fled. He's standing there alone. And he's got a law, and I don't want to get in the weeds, I won't, but there, New York has this vestige of the 30s called the Martin Act, which is essentially, it is they really, I hope ExxonMobil challenges this, so I don't think they are. It's so patently unconstitutional. It is a license for the New York AG to just go, just toss anybody's books. Just go in and toss the joint, look for whatever, on the claim that they might find something. It's a one-of-a-kind law, and that's the only reason Schneiderman's still pursuing this, but he's completely alone because everybody else realized this was a political campaign and I'm posing myself serious political risk by pursuing it and getting involved with this guy. But also, as I think they know, they expose themselves to legal risk. These attorneys general are engaging in civil rights violations, not just civil countersuits, but it's actually, as the guy known as Instapundit, Glenn Reynolds, a University of Tennessee law professor, has written in USA Today's editorial pages, it's a violation of the criminal code of the United States. Two or more people to conspire to violate the civil rights of another. Wow. For example, your First Amendment right to free speech. So these people realized what they'd done in a rush, and they realized, and they all backed away. But Schneiderman is using all of his powers because I guess he feels he's got nowhere to go but to keep fighting. He's cornered.
Are these all part of the AGs United for Clean Power?
That's the group. And what their documents show, they circulated a questionnaire. And first of all, the recruiting letter laid out numerous political objectives. So it's AGs pursuing a political campaign to obtain a political agenda that they can't get through the proper democratic process. Mm. They're trying to defend rules that were imposed because Congress rejected cap and trade. They're trying to defend a treaty that the president won't give to the Senate because it won't get approved and we have a process for approving treaties. They're trying to do all sorts of things they can't do through the democratic process. It's a political coalition and their recruiting documents show this. But also, we got their responses to a questionnaire and they were just acknowledging that, you know, let's form work groups to go after anybody who's insufficiently enthusiastic about what they call renewables. That is intermittent, old. We used to use wind and solar. I mean, it was invented at the same time coal-fired electricity in the late 1800s, but it just doesn't work. People who are insufficiently enthusiastic about state mandates of using stuff that doesn't work and is very expensive, let's go after them. So they had a work group for that. It's a political agenda. They had a work group for fossil fuel energy company investigations who are opposed to their political agenda. So, yes, it's called the AGs United for Clean Power. Their lead item was to defend the Clean Power Plan, which is fancy talk for President Obama's EPA rules that are before the D.C. Circuit next week, the second highest court in the land, and to defend a political agenda. But, you know, we caught them. They have largely fled. They're now enlisting the SEC and Department of Justice to try to bail Schneiderman out, and we're on that trail. But it's a remarkable abuse, and even though they've left, we're not leaving the scene. We are going to continue going after these public records in every state where we think we can get them, because after all, they don't belong to the AGs. They belong to us.
Right, exactly. I understand that the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity released a report titled Renewable Energy in Rhode Island, Big Cost, Little Difference. Can you share a little about that?
What we found is, you may remember when the president used to say, if you want to know how this will turn out, look at Spain. You'll notice he doesn't give that speech anymore because, yeah, this is America. Nobody reads Spanish, right? Well, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
And so we checked, and it turns out, you remember, they cost, just in the opportunity cost, they lost 2.2 jobs, real jobs, for every temporary Potemkin job, that green job that you create that exists only because a politician said it should exist. So you kill 2.2 jobs for every temporary job created. Mm-hmm. plus the actual, you know, you chase people off with higher energy costs, not to mention the cost on seniors and the poor. Well, so then he said Denmark, and then he stopped saying Denmark, and he said Germany. It's a disaster in Germany. So he doesn't give the look at Europe if you want to see how it turns out speech anymore. But groups like the Rhode Island Center have focused on how these policies, as they're being tried here, are working out, and it turns out the president was right. It's turning out just like it did in Europe. So, you know, that's why he doesn't say, look at Europe anymore.
Right.
And so Rhode Island said, look at this. It's what you're doing is you're making people use things that they don't want to. I mean, remember, windmills, wind-powered electricity came about, and it was commercialized in 1887. I like to say in the 80s, 1887. Coal-fired electricity was something like 1881, so they're contemporaries. Solar-powered electricity was 1891. So if they had an argument, they'd probably make it instead of the dishonest, but it's a new technology. That's awfully, you know, 125 years is a little old to call yourself an infant industry. It's time to move out of your mother's basement, and which is the taxpayer, and compete, for heaven's sake. So what the Rhode Island Center and others have pointed out is when your claim is jobs. Well, yeah, if you make people do something, you know, dig a ditch, it'll create a job. Fill it back up, it'll create two jobs. Use a spoon, it'll create four instead of two if you used a shovel. I mean, there's all sorts of inefficiencies. I could make you destroy something every week. I could make, you know, you could pay my children to run around town smashing windows, throw in his younger brother, and I'll guarantee full employment. Until you realize, okay, so we're all cleaning up after the government all day, and that's putting glaciers to work, but what else is that doing?
Yeah.
You're imposing costs on the economy by making people do things that are inefficient and expensive that they wouldn't have done because they still have actual needs they're trying to satisfy. It's actually a drag on the economy. So that's what Rhode Island has found. It's the way it plays out here. It's the way it plays out everywhere. It's because, again, the entire plea by these industries is if the government doesn't make you buy our stuff, we won't exist. Okay, don't exist. Unfortunately, politicians rarely muster the courage to say that because the implicit is, unless you give me this bag of money, I won't exist. They're saying, and as soon as I burn through it, I won't exist because I'm not economic. As soon as the mandate ends, you'll notice that these temporary tax credits to use things, we're always saying, oh, see, well, we don't need those. And then they expire and they scream to the heavens, if this expires, we disappear. If you're going to make people use things they otherwise wouldn't make, you're talking about a cost, not a benefit.
Exactly. You know, I wanted to talk about the UN Climate Summit just for a second here. You attended, was it COP21 in December? And I understand you were strolling along the streets of Paris and you came upon a familiar face on a poster. Can you share that?
Yeah, all over the place. We even had billboards of us, climate criminals, in Paris. The New York Times ran a story showing the late night guys with their brushes and glue putting up our mugs all over Paris. So for some reason, and I've gone to these things for years, they actually have done this before, but this was the biggest splash they've made. For some reason, they want to make sure everybody knows what we look like, and they want to put the word criminal next to it.
Yeah.
And by the way, today we heard the International Criminal Court is now including environmental crimes. So
wow.
I'm sure climate crimes and climate thought crimes and all the rest will come soon. It was an agreement to a treaty that has treaty language, that has language that's in other treaties, that everybody in the world who has joined it has ratified it. You can see their instruments of ratification online. I've heard some systems take that into account in their constitution. Someone might check because our president accepted it. You can see the U.S. certificate of acceptance online at the UN website with all of the other countries. Ratification from Norway to North Korea, China to the Cook Islands, everybody, even former military junta leaders in Fiji, have agreed that, you know what, I will let the people's elected representatives have a say because that's what our system demands. Yeah. Our system, as I understand it, also buried in Article 2, Section 2, right up top, actually, of the Constitution, the same provision the president says he loves because it involves Supreme Court justices, well, right before that, it talks about treaties, and there's a supermajority required for a treaty, so we know they took them seriously. And the president has joined the Paris Climate Treaty, just saying we agree, while every other country has actually submitted an instrument of ratification. This is how crazy it's become, how plainly unpopular and undoable it is through the democratic process, and how lawless this whole thing is. So I don't think you really, they're sort of like kind and quality. When you see attorneys general doing this, acting in an utterly lawless way, it's of the same ilk as a president just saying, what are you going to do about it, Senate? I don't think you'll call me on this and stand up and say, it is a treaty, it's a shared power, and it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it looked like they were taking their cue from him since he got away with so much because the Congress were behaving in a craven manner. But and of course, they're getting caught one by one by one, the AGs. I just want to ask you one quick question here about this group that had called you or labeled you all criminals, Avaaz. Do you know anything about them?
I really don't, except I've seen occasionally sensible communications from them pop up on various social media about actual problems, you know, getting safe drinking water to people, an actual, in fact, a great environmental problem, and a problem that will be made worse under the rest of their agenda, where they make the world poorer, less able to deal with something we're always going to face and that is not outside of historical norms, that is climate change. I don't know anything about them except for that, but I will have to say they probably ought to get out more often, because if they actually sat around a table and said, yeah, this is a great idea, I don't know, they ought to maybe focus group these things a little more off, because that really didn't get, that blew up in their face. It's just, look, they're all about shouting down speech and intimidation and trying to, if you dare speak up, you will pay. If you dare show up, we'll make sure everybody knows what you look like, call you a criminal. And who knows what might befall you. These tactics don't go over outside of their circles. So like I say, I really think they ought to step outside of their probably nice leather-chaired, big, glass-paneled Washington, D.C. conference rooms on occasion and talk to some real people, including the ones they're harming with these policy demands of theirs, demanding higher energy costs. It really doesn't take much thought to think about who that hurts first and worst, and you don't need Google Translate to read the English newspapers that talk about the epidemic of deaths among seniors from what's called energy poverty from these policies.
Yeah, I think it's selective ignorance, and it's definitely intentional. An important question, Chris, where can the listeners follow and support your excellent work and purchase your books, including The Liberal War on Transparency?
Those are all on Amazon, or I think they're still up at chrishorneronline.com, but The Liberal War on Transparency, Politically Incorrect Guide, Red Hot Lies, all at amazon.com. And you can follow these activities at two websites, CEI.org, CEI, or EELegal.org for Energy Environment Legal, EELegal.org.
Excellent. And as always, I'll have the information that Chris shared in my social networks, which is now on my live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the on-air button, and right under the show description, you'll find the links that Chris just shared, including links to his books as well. Thanks so much, Chris, for taking the time to share with us.
Thank you, Audrey.
We look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.
You too. Bye-bye.